Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Secret Artists, a podcast hosted by me, Annie McGrath. Each week I meet a different comedian and they choose an object for us to paint, and we have a lovely old chat. My guest this week is sensational. His name is Brett Goldstein. He said afterwards that the podcast is very dangerous because you're so distracted by painting that you open up and say things you might not otherwise say. Follow him on Twitter for his stand-up gigs, at Brett Goldstein. Watch his film, Super Bob, which is brilliant. That's available on Amazon. Also, he hosts a film podcast, which is absolutely great, called Films to be Buried With. Very excitingly, he has his own show coming out on AMC called Soulmates, which he co-wrote with Will Bridges. And we found out on the podcast that it's going to be available to watch on Amazon Prime. I think that's a world exclusive. So very exciting stuff. Also, in terms of our podcast, we're going to be doing it live at Machynlleth Comedy Festival on the 3rd of May. So do get tickets to that. We'll be announcing the lineup very soon. And we're doing it at Latitude Festival, which is also incredibly exciting. My own personal plug doesn't work. The plug in the bath's broken. No, but I'm doing a show at Vaults tonight and tomorrow night. Vault Festival in London, if you happen to be free. Thank you. Enjoy the podcast. Oh yeah, I forced Brett to listen to it.
It's like my equivalent of ASMRAD, which I never liked. But what yours, I like. You know those things where it's like.
Yeah, where it's like.
I'm scratching your head.
I'm rubbing a bit of paint up and a paintbrush.
I'm under your bed.
Oh no, that's really creepy.
Scratching at the mattress.
You've made it horrible.
That's what it says to me.
Intro. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He's an actor, a writer, his first man, a son. No, come on. Your podcast.
I am a son.
You are a son, yeah. Yeah. So weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never thought of it like that, but I guess
Brett,
you're right.
Brett the baby.
Yeah.
I'm joined today by award-winning actor Brett Goldstein. Isn't that so cool? You've won an award for acting.
Yeah, it's really great.
Biffa.
Biffa, yeah.
Yeah, what does that stand for?
British Independent Film Awards.
Yeah, exactly. He's also a comedian, writer, and host of the brilliant podcast Films to be Buried With. He's a film star. Brett co-wrote and stars in Super Bob, a very funny action romance, is what IMDb describes it as.
Yeah.
He's been in Derek, Doctor Who, Uncle, Adult Life Skills, Drifters, Drunk History, and The Bill.
The greatest of all.
Yeah. I always save The Bill till last. Because Lucy Pearman was also in The Bill.
Was she?
Yeah.
You know, I played a suspected paedophile.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't do it, but for two episodes you thought I might have done.
Lucy Pearman also played a paedophile.
Are you serious? Yeah. To all comedians, The Bill must hate comedians when we come into audition, they go, he's another paedo.
I've not watched the End of the Fucking World series 2, but doesn't Tim Key play a sort of someone you think is a paedophile?
Look at us,
I think. Oh, fingers crossed for my big gig.
Yeah.
What else have you fucking done? Oh, he wrote on the Catherine Tate show.
Yes, I did.
With Catherine Tate.
Catherine Tate herself.
He's done so many good shows at the Edinburgh Fringe. Your latest one, What Is Love, Baby Don't Hurt Me?
Yeah.
It was great. About sex, porn, love and addiction.
Thank you, Annie.
That was too long, wasn't it?
No, I really enjoyed it.
You've done so many things.
God, it sounds a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the thing that's really blown my mind is sun.
It's what? Oh, you're a son, yeah. And what have you brought in, Brett?
Oh, right.
Something for us to paint.
I have, yeah. So for the record, I've never really painted.
Okay.
I know nothing about art, but...
Perfect guest for the podcast.
But what I do know, I thought about this and I was like, yeah. I could be silly and be all like, oh, I don't know shit about art. But I do know about film. And that ain't not art.
Oh,
it?
That was one of my questions. Is film art?
Yeah, and I brought a buddy who is a... I went to see Jim Henson, who's my, you know, idol.
Yeah.
I went to his studio in America. It was like open for one day. And someone took me and I bought this...
Muppet. Puppet. What is he actually called? Does he have his character?
Well, no, I call him Buddy. He's unnamed.
Oh, okay.
He's up to the person who buys him.
Untitled, we'd say, in art.
Yeah.
So I quite want to move him around, like, because he's got these puppet sticks. I wonder if we could
play with it?
Put him in like a pose, like a sort of life drawing.
But it's something you care about, right?
This is great, yes. Buddy, so what does this mean to you then? He's your idol, Jim.
I think Jim Henson, look, here's the real thing that sort of frightens me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Henson is the last person on the list who hasn't yet been revealed to be a paedophile or a sex criminal of the great heroes of my life.
And so, all the puppet stuff does make him a likely
left.
Suspect.
He's the only one left to be someone to look up to. He's literally the last man standing.
Do you think he's all right?
I think he's all right.
Well, this is great.
Yeah.
Let's describe him. Lime green.
Yeah.
Wearing a sort of old man's shirt.
With a bow tie.
Oh, that's a bow tie, is it?
Yeah, it's got a bow tie.
Purple and black bow tie, classic.
Big eyes.
Big white and black eyes. And pinky hair.
Sort of, yeah.
Yellow nose. I like him. What's he called again?
Buddy.
Buddy, yeah. Well, let's start drawing him, shall we?
Sure.
Well, I've got pencils here.
Ooh.
Or you can go straight on.
Can you teach me a bit?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Because I do really know nothing
first,
of this.
I think. I'm going to go for a light one. H, that's quite light.
I'll say this for the podcast. You're the best artist.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for coming. You can go
now. You're the masters. You're the master. You're the only artist whose work I fully appreciate.
Really?
Yeah.
I once went to an audition for a short film and did like a read through of it with the two girls who had written it and had got the job. Great meeting. Yeah. And then after we were like having a drink and chatting about it and I was like, oh, that's so funny. When I read it, I thought of Jessie K for the part. It was like sandy hair, blue eyes, like thing. And they were like, oh, and I saw the moment in their eyes where they were like, yeah, she'd be great. But we'd like arranged the dates and everything. And then a few weeks later, I messaged being like, just checking where you want me to turn up tomorrow.
No.
And yeah, then they were like, oh, we've actually had a few more meetings since we met you. And then like the film came out, Jessie Cave was in it. So basically what I'm saying is I should be Jessie Cave's agent.
Yeah, you should be a casting director. You're
but now good. I don't recommend, like I obviously recommend people, but if I'm in an audition situation, you can't be sort of naming.
Can I just say, while Annie's talking, she's also drawing. I didn't know that was going to happen. And what I'm wondering is, I'm not meant to copy you, right?
Well, I'm drawing this thing that you brought in.
Yeah.
You can copy me, but I don't know that it will
happen. But like the way you're holding a pencil is not how I'd hold a pencil, for example. So I'm like, maybe that's how you hold a pencil.
Well, I'm holding it sort of near the end.
Why?
I think if you hold it in the normal way, like to write, that's very good because you're too sort of tense and restricted.
Okay, go on.
So it can help to sort of hold it nearer the end. And then, because I'm just trying to do loose marks to get the sort of perspective.
You've also gone...
I've gone portrait.
Portrait.
Should I move the paint out of the way for a sec while we draw?
Let's get the bloody paint out of the way.
Let's express ourselves.
Okay.
Oh, I've made the eyes and the nose look a bit like a dick and balls.
That's okay. You express yourself how you see best. That's lovely, isn't it?
I think I'm going to try and not fit. Sometimes when you have a piece of paper, I find you try and fit the whole thing on, but then the perspective goes a bit...
See, average. I think I've gone like head on and that's wrong, right? Got to give it a bit of an angle.
Well, yeah, because you can't see him head on, can you?
No. Can I rub it out? Can we start the podcast again?
Yeah, last time I tried to look for rubber was with Jamie Dimitri and I ended up giving him a toffee by mistake. So I don't know if I actually have them. Oh,
nice.
Yeah, I do have a rubber. Forget that.
Oh, she's giving me a toffee. Thank you.
I've given you a little bowl of pecans, by the way.
Yeah, lovely for a podcast. thank you.
You said you wanted nuts.
Thank you so much. Right.
Right. On with the podcast.
Starting again.
Did you do art at school?
I think if I did, I didn't do it, it wasn't one of my majors.
What did you major in? Film.
Drama and English and that sort of business.
I did drama and English.
I feel like I was never taught drawing and shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You've got to
Maybe
be
I was.
You've repressed it.
Yeah.
Do you not find it relaxing then, art?
Like I said, I once bought one of them, because they were all the rage for about 6 months, them books where it's like colouring mad patterns, but you have to colour.
Like therapeutic sort of felt pen.
Adult colouring books.
Yeah, yeah. You got into that, did you?
Well, for about 6 minutes and then I got a bit bored.
I don't really like those because you have to stay in the lines. It's all a bit prescriptive.
Yeah, that's not art, is it?
It's not art.
You've got to break out the
fucking lines.
Let me
get out of the lines for once. Did you like English and drama?
I think I liked my English teacher because he lent me A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a young lad and it was banned.
Oh, that's quite cool.
Thinking back on it, it was probably a pedo.
Did you? We used to have parties in English. Like if it was Byron's birthday.
Really?
Yeah, it was quite popular.
What, you'd all do
My teacher
heroin
would just bring
together.
In like wine and...
And laudanum.
Wine and chocolate.
What? What school was this? B-Dales?
Posh one, yeah. Not B-Dales. Not that posh. Headington Girls.
Headington Girls, lovely name.
Lovely part of the world. With Emma Watson, of course.
Was it?
Yeah.
Are you friends with her?
We were at school, yeah. I'm a bit too busy now. No. We did do art together, actually.
Now I've done it in perspective, it's worse than it was head on, but that's okay. I'm just going to allow it.
I like it, though. It's good from the side. At least you're sort of...
Sometimes art doesn't have to be beautiful, right?
Oh, almost definitely.
I love David Lynch. You know, he's my favourite artist.
Oh, yeah.
He does film, he does painting, and all this stuff is really weird and scary. And ugly, a lot of it.
I mean, that's what you're channeling.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. Puppets, right?
Yeah.
There was a girl called... there still is a girl called Josie Daxter.
Yeah.
Who I once did a play with.
Why are you touching the puppet?
Because there's a string sticking out of his mouth.
Oh, right. Little... Isn't that his teeth? Oh, yeah, that is annoying.
Try to pop that in. You're right, buddy. There's a girl called Josie Daxter. I did a play with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went... She... You know Punch Drunk? The Punch Drunk.
Oh, yeah. Like immersive
theatre. Yeah, so I'd never seen or done any of that. And she had... there was Mask of the Red Death was being done at the Battersea Arts Centre.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And they had like one room in it which was like for visiting artists where they could sort of do what they wanted. And she was helping out in that room once, and so she got me sort of tickets to come along to this. And what they were doing in the room, it was all blacked out. And they just had this puppet mask, just a still mask. The face didn't do it, the face didn't change.
Yeah.
But it was just like a floating head, it was blacked. It just had like a spotlight on it, and they had like a stick behind it, so it just looked like a sort of floating head.
Oh, that's terrifying.
But she taught me, greatest lesson I ever learnt.
Yeah.
She said, secret to puppetry is breathing, is that the puppet has to breathe. So she's holding his head, and she just, to describe it on the podcast, her hand would gently move up and down, very small amounts, but it basically means the thing is now
like
alive.
Like it's pulsating.
Yeah, like it's breathing, it's alive. Yeah. And that's it. If you hold it still, that's shit. That's not, that's just a bit of wood.
Yeah.
As soon as you make it breathe.
So why aren't you making that breathe?
Making Buddy breathe?
Yeah.
Because you've stuffed him on a toilet roll.
It's kitchen roll. Thanks very much.
Oh, I shouldn't have taken it to the toilet. I'm sorry.
Why is he your favourite? Well, you've sort of...
Who?
David Lynch. Why is he your favourite artist?
Because he makes things... His whole sort of... theory of life.
Mm-hmm.
He's very into transcendental meditation, and he basically is always kind of asking the question, like, is this a dream? And if you look at life, like, it might be a dream, you know, is this a dream when you're dreaming? Is that the dream? Is that life?
Is that life?
And he sort of creates by meditating and just sort of following the muse where it takes him.
Mm.
And
What is transcendental meditation?
Transcendental meditation is a type of meditation that you sit still for 25 minutes, close your eyes, and you have a mantra. Everyone has their own mantra. And you just say the mantra in your mind.
Who decides on the mantra?
A specialist.
Oh, really?
A TM specialist. And then
what, you have to go and see someone to get the mantra?
Yeah.
So what's yours? Do you do it?
I can't tell you.
The way you're talking about it sounds like you do.
I did do it.
But you're not allowed to tell anyone.
No, you're not allowed to tell anyone. I can't give it away.
But is that just because
I don't know if that's bullshit or if it's because... I actually don't know if it's bullshit.
How long is it? Can you like
it's not long. It's the equivalent of like 3 words.
Okay.
I will kill.
I'm a paedophile.
I'm a paedo.
You...
Anyway, what was your question?
No, why is he my artist? I'm interested in it. Is it in the first person, the mantra, or is it like
It's not English. Oh. I don't know what it's.
Oh.
What it is? It's more a sound. More a sort of series of sounds.
Like Chinese.
Yep.
Don't worry, it's all fine in the edit. that's interesting. So where do you sit for 25 minutes to...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was it like growing up with someone that was in the public eye?
You're talking about Emma Watson?
I'm talking about your family.
Oh.
And did it feel any different to the regular? Or was it, you know, I mean, it was all you knew, I'm sure. But like,
yeah, it was all I knew. For the listener, my dad was on They Think It's All Over and various other comedy TV shows in the 90s. Your dad is just your dad. You don't really know that what they do is different to anyone else until probably secondary school. I noticed it more with teachers, weirdly.
Oh, really?
Although if we used to go out for dinner when I was little, people would come up and like ask him for his autograph.
And what was that like when you were a little person? Did that like upset you? Was it like, what are you doing with my dad? Or was it like fun?
I just sort of didn't really mind, I don't think. I mean, sometimes it was annoying if like we just got our food.
Yeah.
But most people are nice about it. You do get a few dickheads. And thankfully, I think it was the days before camera phones, because I think people are much more intrusive now, sort of taking sneaky snaps.
Sneaky peeks.
Whereas you had to ask back in the day. But...
Did you ever... Here's something I always wonder.
Yeah.
With people with kids. When you were little, was there ever a conversation where you were told, listen, people are going to come up when we're out and... you mustn't embarrass me or shout or, do you know what I mean? Or be rude to the person.
What is it? Were we like PR trained?
Yeah. Like as in if you are in the middle of dinner and someone comes over, you might just want to go, fuck off. But as in...
No, I'd be more worried that my dad would do that than me.
All right, okay.
No, we were never really told. I didn't watch his... I think because what he did was comedy and it was a bit rude.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see much of it until I was a bit older. I did go and watch They Think It's All Over...
Did you?
The live recording, but I was too young to be in the audience, so I had to be in the green room. What a hard life. Growing up in a green room. But
did that make you want to do comedy?
I don't think so. I mean,
what made you want to do comedy?
I don't know. I really like doing drama at school, and I tend to get cast as the sort of comedy character.
Sort of Jesse Cave type.
I was like, you sure you often want me for this? I know another young girl.
Jesse Cave busy, is she? All right, I'll come in. Before I come in, can I just check? Have you checked Jesse Cave's date? Yeah. She's definitely not available. Okay, I'll come in.
And then I got into it at university because I auditioned for the sketch group there.
Oh.
And I got in.
Yay, congratulations.
One thing led to another, and here we are painting a puppet on a Sunday night. Got a dream.
Dream big, baby.
I don't want to scare you, Brett.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start painting.
Okay, I think I'm ready to paint.
Oh, I love what you've done with the sticks.
It's quite
scary, isn't it?
I don't hate this. I think what you've done is it shows our different
different approaches.
Temperaments.
I'm going to put the paint there, is that all right?
Yep.
And the water I'll just put...
Yours feels much more 3D, which is great.
Well, I've just sort of sketched out the angles, haven't I? Mm. I've got more brushes, but these... Here we can start with. That's quite a nice one.
Yeah? Lovely brush. Okay, I'm going to start. Lovely brush. So, I'm wetting the brush.
Yeah.
And I'm putting it, popping it in there.
Maybe I have got green paint. I never really put it out because I don't love it, but it might be helpful. Don't mind me. if you'd prefer, I've got these like ink blocks.
What's that mean?
They're quite hard to use, I find, but you might like them. That's quite a good green. You sort of, it's like chalk, but then you can wet it. So then it goes like that. Like all watercolour-y.
Ooh, okay. That's give that a go. That'd be good for the green. I'm loving this. Wow, a lovely way to spend your life.
So, Brett.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. It is Brett, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got an American TV series coming out. Are you still writing it?
No. It's filmed. We have locked 5 of the 6 episodes.
That's great. How was that?
It was a dream nightmare. A dream come true. Oh, it was really...
That green is horrible. Sorry.
that's one of the worst. A bit of interviewing on that. It's about to open up. Oh, that is awful.
Getting the big exclusive.
Haven't talked to anyone about it yet.
How's Hollywood?
Yeah.
Oh, that pain is gross. Sorry, Brett.
No.
I'm a terrible host.
Forget it. It's been a real experience because it's the thing you sort of dream of doing, the thing you work towards. Me and my co-creator.
Yeah. Will Bridges. Yeah.
We've made 6 hours of TV for AMC.
Amazing.
And they're all different. It's an anthology, 6 different stories.
So it's sort of, so I read something like, that said it's sort of like Black Mirror. Is that
I think that's fair. I mean, we sort of pitched it as Black Mirror with love, as in, because the concept of the show is that science finds proof of the human soul, and because of it, there is now a test that can match you with your soulmate.
Oh, wow.
And so every story, although every story is different, is set in the world where the soulmate test exists. So if you're married, it might make your marriage...
Oh, it can tell you whether you're married.
You can tell if you're married to your soulmate, yeah.
Fuck. If you're not, can they tell you where your soulmate is?
Yeah, as long as they're on the system.
Shit.
As long as they're taking the test, they'll be on the system. So some people take the test and their match may not be on the system yet, but it means they will be one day.
God, that'd be so annoying if you met...
If
you knew your soulmate was out there, but they weren't on the system.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of the jeopardy of the show.
One of the episodes, a person finds out their soulmate is already dead.
Oh, Brett, you're killing me.
Lots of questions.
Such an interesting idea.
Yeah.
And when it's on ABC?
AMC.
ABC, God.
So it'll be on AMC June 28th. And then, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. Okay, it's been sold to Amazon worldwide, so it'll be on Amazon Prime.
Amazing! Yeah. So we can watch it here.
You can watch it here. I don't know what date it will be on there, but...
That's so cool.
You can watch them all on there.
Is that a world exclusive?
Yeah, currently. Great. I haven't told anyone else.
That's so exciting. And so Will wrote one of the episodes of Black Mirror, didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote the one that won the Emmy. Co-wrote it with Charlie Brooker.
Have you known him for a while, or did you just...
We met on Superbob. We co-wrote the screenplay for Superbob. And it was while we were writing Superbob that we had this idea. And we made a short film of it. And just 7 years later, we made the show.
Well, that is... that feels like a huge achievement. And it's good to know that you can have an idea and even... You know, it can happen.
It can happen. You just got to stick with it.
Were there any points where you were like... Or we should just give up.
To be honest, my sort of secret of my success is always assume nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And just, just keep writing stuff.
But what made you stick with this idea then?
Well, we what made me stick with it? We were in development with AMC, and as long as they didn't sort of drop it, there was always hope. But I never thought it was going to actually get greenlit. And then one day, almost out of the blue, they called and said, right, it's happening, you're filming in a month. And we were like, what?
So great.
Yeah. And we filmed it in Madrid for America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it really snowy when you were there?
It was fucking freezing.
I kept seeing all your Instagram posts. You sounded really pissed off.
Yeah, because it's Madrid. Everyone kept going, ooh, lucky. Like, you're having, oh, we're all in winter and you're in Madrid. And I was like, it's fucking so cold. It's colder than anywhere I've been. We were always outside. All the stuff we were shooting was just in the woods, and then it was like, so
that's your fault, to be fair. You wrote
yeah
that.
we didn't write any warm scenes. Yeah, that was our fault.
And are you in it?
No, I was doing if we do another, I was meant to be in one. But then
Jesse Cave got it.
I got an acting job in something else, which meant that I couldn't. Jesse Cave, so I gave the job to Jesse Cave. We won't give it to you, and I was, and then this other
I didn't text came, back in yeah, time.
You didn't text back. Jesse was straight on there.
And would you have had to audition? Because I know people that have written stuff and then they've had to audition for it and not got it. But I guess
that's a great point. Well, truthfully, the short that we made that got us the show in the first place, I was in the short.
Okay,
so they had said when they'd greenlit it, they said, and you'll be in one, right? So it was okay.
And you were like, yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Like,
yeah, oh, sorry. I'm going to have to give it to Jesse.
What was the other thing that you got a part in?
That I don't think I can talk about because I don't think that one's been announced.
Okay.
Sorry.
How does it meal?
This
is how it meals to be lonely.
When you're hungry in love.
How does it feel to make something that millions of people will watch?
Well, that's very optimistic, and I like it. Well, I hope they do. It feels, you know what? It's an extraordinary thing, and I never for a second take it for granted. Like, it's incredible. And every day, particularly when it was really stressful, the thing that would sort of calm you or bring you back to earth would go, this is unbelievable, this is happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is, I can't believe this is real. But it was the most work I've ever done in my life, like, kind of relentless 20-hour days for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a day off at all, including Sundays.
Insane. The Lord's Day.
Yeah, even on the Lord's Day we're working. So sometimes it was a bit like, bloody hell. But then you'd always go, I just think in the end, oh God, I hate being sort of positive about stuff, but like as in, we're really proud of it.
You should be positive about it.
I think it'd be really good. But I also think when you work that hard at something, it better be fucking good. Because otherwise, it'd been a waste of a year if it weren't.
I guess the scary bit is just before it comes out, and you know, people actually can see it, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, at that point.
So who's in it?
Well, it's a different cast every week.
Oh, yeah.
So I can tell you, but it'll take a while. The big name, Sarah Snook from Succession. She's in the first episode.
Right.
And Kingsley Benadire from Peaky Blinders. David Costable from Breaking Bad.
Nice.
Sonya Cassidy from Humans. Charlie Heaton, Stranger Things.
Oh my God.
Marlon Ackerman from Watchmen in The Comeback.
A stellar lineup. What's it called?
It's called Soulmates.
Soulmates. Good name. And did you get to sit in on the audition process? Were you the audition process?
Well, so we were show running it, which is the American model, which basically means you do
everything.
Literally everything.
But get paid to do one thing?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. The pay of one job, but the work of all the jobs.
The responsibility of everything.
Yeah. Which is
why. So you were in charge of running the casting?
Everything, yeah. I mean, we had a casting director, but, you know, we had everyone. You're basically overseeing everything. So there was a casting director who was amazing, and there was a, you know, we had everyone. We had a hell of a team, but you're kind of you know, I don't know, this bit boring, isn't it?
No.
You're kind of, you know, you're over, all over everything.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel you learnt stuff from an acting point of view that you like would or wouldn't do at auditions now, having been in the room?
Do you know what I did learn? Well, I learned this from, because I watched so many casting tapes. You know the thing, the worst bit when you're in a casting and they make you say your name and your agent?
Yeah.
And your height? And I always feel like an absolute dickhead when you do that.
Yeah.
Here's what I learned, and it's counterintuitive. Do something weird in that bit. Because you end up watching so many videos.
Yeah.
It will stand out if
anything that's enough.
Yeah, just... there was a guy that got a part just because in his intro he went like, "Hello, my name's oh gosh, what?" Anyway, that sort of thing. Something like that. Whatever he did, it was like,
so the bar was really low.
Stood out, and you were like, "Who's this guy?" And then you really watch his tape, and then you're like, "Oh, he's really good."
Well, that's good.
So that's my tip, is do something sort of
something kooky,
which sounds awful,
yeah,
but
yeah, it does.
Do something kooky up top.
All right, then.
I'll tell you another secret.
Mm-hmm.
One person got the part simply because he had been in The Muppet Christmas Carol, which is the greatest film of all time. So I was like, you get the job, mate.
I love Muppets Christmas.
He was also absolutely amazing, but that is truly
who
why.
Who was he in The Muppets?
Nephew Fred. Stephen McIntosh, brilliant actor.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
How's your painting go? It looks good from it.
Yeah?
Yeah, great colours.
Thank you. Well, I like that chalky thing you gave me.
Oh, yeah. Is that what the green is?
Yeah.
Has any moment in your career so far matched Lucas Moura's 96th minute?
No.
You think it ever will?
You won't... I don't know if you'll be able to use this, or if this will mean anything to you. The show that I wrote on...
Mm-hmm.
That I entirely based an entire episode on a moment that happened with Lucas Moura.
Really?
Yeah. And that I had to show the writer's room. I was like, listen, guys, you've got to see this. And I think it's my favourite moment in football. Shall I tell you it?
Yeah, please.
All right. So Lucas Moura, when we're Tottenham, a while, hadn't really been like, no one was really talking about him.
Yeah.
And then he has this amazing game. He scores a hat trick. And at the end of the game, I mean, you should look it up because it's so beautiful. The end of the game, he runs, he's on the field, he runs to the stand, stands there with the ball under his arm, sort of posing, just sort of facing the crowd, like legs apart, just standing there like a fucking geezer.
Yeah.
And the commentators are going, what's he doing? Oh, he's really posing there. But he's standing there and he looks really emotional, like he's going to cry.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, what's going on? He's just sort of posing and posing. And then you realise he's looking for someone, and then come through the crowd is his wife and baby, and they get to the front of the crowd, and he goes and she hands him their son, who's like a toddler, and he holds him up to the crowd and everyone goes, hey! And then he puts the boy down on the field, and he's got like a dummy in his mouth, his kid, and he puts a ball in front of the kid, and the kid sort of goes, kicks the ball a little bit, and the crowd goes, way! And then walks towards, kicks the ball, and goes, way! It's so beautiful. And he picks the kid up and holds it.
Take the kid out.
Yeah,
the
he goes, not your kid! And he goes, sorry.
Sorry, you can't go on the pitch, mate.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, it's really.
Time wasting, though, fucking Tottenham.
No, it was the end of the game had finished.
We've been shown it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Great.
I'm doing his nose now.
Great
Brett.
Yeah.
What is art?
Art is a way of perceiving the world through a different lens.
Lovely.
And to show the world in a new light.
Are you reading that off something?
No, that's what I'm thinking it through. And to hopefully bring joy or inspire awe and to make you see the world anew. Is that right?
Absolutely lovely, yeah. So do you think it always has to inspire joy?
No, it doesn't have to inspire joy, but I think it should be the equivalent of like, what's the word when they say like, you know, pan out? No, what's it like? Zoom out.
Yeah.
Like you go, oof, we're only tiny specks.
Oh, what, to sort of give us perspective?
Give us some perspective or at least...
on how small we are in the grand scheme.
No, or just make you go, ooh, kind of...
Ooh. Ooh.
Bloody hell. I hadn't thought of it like that.
Bloody hell, I'm alive.
Yeah. I don't know.
To be grateful for our existence.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it couldn't be dark. Of course it could be dark.
Some of the best art is dark.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, I think that's it. To make you see the world in a different light.
Mm.
Does that sound right?
Sounds right to me, yeah. That's exactly what I've got written down here, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good answer.
Thank you. What do you think it's for? Showing off.
I have got a massive painting on display as you walked into the room because I was working on it when you arrived. It's really, and it did beautiful. Look like... Here's one I did earlier. Mm. Oh, sorry. Just happens to be right in front of you when you walk. A human expression. A creation of human expression.
I also think it's always, I think the art that I like, not that I know much of anything, I think it's all storytelling. I think all of it is like, we all put more, we put meaning on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's chaos and we decide what it means, right?
Yeah.
To try and make sense of things. And art and everything, stories are just ways of trying to put meaning on stuff. And sometimes you look at a painting and you go, oh, that's about this. And it's telling this story. But it might just be a fucking flower.
And we're projecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you, in terms of paintings, do you prefer ones where there's like an obvious
story? Bit going on.
A bit going on, you know.
Look, truthfully, Annie, when you asked me this, I was slightly worried because I thought, oh, I don't really know anything about paintings.
Yeah, and then you messaged me about finger painting and I was like, oh, great. Yeah. He knows what he wants.
But I have been, you know, I've seen a couple in my time.
Yeah.
But I'm no expert.
That's fine. Who is?
I don't really know anything.
I'm not an expert.
And sometimes I think I'm bored.
What, looking at art? Or...
Well, I think it's one of them things I feel like I sort of want to be educated because I love Steve Martin and he loves art. And I'd like Steve Martin to teach me about art.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I think, have I looked at it long enough? Am I free to go now? I've stood here for a minute.
I always feel like I...
Should I be standing longer?
Walk around galleries far too quickly.
Yeah. I'm like, what's the rules?
And then if there's someone looking at one, you like skip ahead and then come back and it's all stressful.
Yeah. God, it's a nightmare.
But it should just be one in, one out in galleries.
Yes. I like that.
What paintings have you seen?
In real life. But when we was in Madrid, I went to one of the big museums once.
Oh, cool.
I couldn't tell you what I saw, but I did see one massive, like, famous, you might know what it is. It's like massive and it takes up like 12 walls and it's like a vision of hell or something.
Dante's Inferno?
Something like that. It's very impressive.
I've not been to Madrid, actually.
Oh, it's very cold.
It's too cold, yeah.
Can't recommend it. It's very cold.
I'm going to do the bow tie and then the little denim mini and then I think I'm sort of there.
Oh, wow. You're really...
racing through. I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you own any art?
No. I have what I have on my walls, which I do think is art. I have film posters. Oh,
I was going to guess that.
Yeah, I do. If that counts, then yes. But they're not like originals. They're just...
Yeah, that counts.
Posters from the...
Which films?
I'll tell you one that sort of breaks the rules. Mm-hmm. I have a poster of the film Wolf, Mike Nichols' film with Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, yeah.
It's a terrible film. But the poster is really sexy.
Really?
And I think I have that. That might be the only one where I can go, that is a genuine, I have that as a work of art. Because all the other films I have, it's like, they look good and I love the film. But Wolf is a shit film. I just really like the picture.
Is there a sexy woman on it?
Well, it's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jack Nicholson's, it's dark.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson's got like a yellow wolf eye and he's staring like a wolf. And Michelle Pfeiffer's mouth and nose are there under him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good poster, isn't it?
It's quite creepy. Oh, yeah. And there's sort of reflection of a moon in his eye.
Yeah, and it says, the animal is out.
Is that your mantra?
Yeah.
It's too many words.
Yeah. What's your best impression, Ali?
You've been given those. I can do Moaning Myrtle.
Go on.
Harry.
That's really good.
Thanks.
I can do Stephen Fry doing Harry Potter audiobooks.
Oh, go on.
Harry Potter!
That's good. Weird that we both didn't get cast in...
Jessie Cave got the part. Yes.
She actually did.
Yeah.
Lavender Brown. I auditioned to be Luna Lovegood, in fact.
Did you?
But she got cast as the Irish girl.
Hmm.
She was a massive Harry Potter fan, the girl who got the part. Apparently she'd written in saying that she is Luna Lovegood. And that's where I went wrong.
Right, you said I'm Annie McGrath. That like a part and they went, we're only casting actual people who were in the books. shame. Harry Potter!
Harry! Do you think we'll get in? Based on this podcast.
Harry was getting older. Harry Potter! Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Why is so old, Harry?
This is good content.
Oh, Potter. Is it?
Is that Snape?
Yeah.
Stephen Fry doing
Snape. Stephen Fry doing Snape. Potter, is it?
Stephen Fry!
I'm Hermione, and I'm clever, but not in a boring way. Now, where are you, Harry?
Have you seen the film?
No, I've listened to the audio, but I've gone very rogue on his shirt.
Oh, I've really fucked his bow tie.
I can do Stitch.
You can do Stitch?
What Stitch? Oh, from Lilo.
Oh, Hannah means family.
Oh, that's very good.
Family means nobody gets left behind.
Hey, oh, this is really good. You could also do that. Means you could also do the geezer out of the Black Cauldron. What's he called? Gurgly.
Could I?
Yeah.
Favorite Disney film?
Oh,
we're sort of entering into your podcast territory now, aren't we?
It's okay. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, love it.
Beauty and the Beast.
Love it.
Jungle Book. How's that?
Love it. Yeah. What about The Lion King not getting a look in?
No.
Don't like it?
I love it, but it's not making the top three. It's not tabling. Okay.
What I thought when you said tabling was in Beauty and the Beast, is there a table?
That talks? Yeah. Talking table? Talking, yeah, it probably is.
Like doesn't the candles get many notes. Yeah. On the table.
Your table.
Oh, I can do Chip.
Oh, go on.
Do I still have to sleep in the cupboard?
I'll tell you when you're older.
Wait, it wasn't as good as I remember than my impression being.
I know, it was good.
Mom, do I still have to sleep in the cupboard?
What about,
Daddy, there's a monster outside my room. Can I have a glass of water?
What's that?
In Signs, the little girl who loves water.
Oh, I love that.
It's about water, isn't it? That
It is, in a way.
Oh, yeah. One more I've remembered.
Yeah, go on.
Miss Piggy in Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh, go on.
when he goes there on the island, she's got loads of jewellery.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he called? The pirate?
Long John Silver?
Yeah. Long John Silver, yeah. And he's like, then where did you get those gold doubloons? And she goes, shopping channel?
Yeah, funny. That's good.
Love that bit. How's your podcast going, Brett?
It's going very well, thanks, Ellie.
I'd love
you to do it sometime.
I'd love to do it. Oh, you sent me the questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're preparing for you to do it.
We're preparing. This is preparation.
I've already...
This is a test of our chemistry.
Yeah. So. I think you're going to be on it.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoy listening to it. On a run sometimes.
Yeah, that's very nice. It's quite weird, isn't it? Like, I listen to Comedians podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Every week. And you think, it's odd. Like, I know Stuart Goldsmith so well. I listen to him every week. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
I listen to like an hour and a half of Stuart Goldsmith every single week. And put all them together, amount of hours. It's a lot more hours than I've actually spent with Stuart Goldsmith.
Yeah, means you don't have to meet up.
He did say in one podcast, if you're a friend of mine that hasn't been in touch for a while, remember that you don't actually talk to me, you just listen to the podcast. And I thought, oh yeah.
That's so true. He's plugging friendship.
Yeah, because people go, yeah, I've caught up with you. Yeah. I get the gist.
That's so funny that he's noticed that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like what I've done with the bow tie. I think I'm going to stop. It's a weird colour choice. Purple and black for a bow tie with a sort of beige. I mean, who is he dressing himself?
It's possible that... I can't remember if I designed it.
Ah.
No, I didn't.
Have you ever pretended to like art, Brett?
That's a good question.
Apart from now on this podcast.
Yeah, that's a good question. No, because I think I'm probably the sort of person, like I've changed now, but I reckon back in the day, I'd have double leaned into it. What, fuck off, I don't know nothing about art.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't have pretended to like it.
I could have done that.
Yeah, I mean, what a fucking bit of red.
Yeah.
I can do red. Yeah.
You can do red, actually, I can see.
Thank you. So no, I don't think I would have pretended, because I can't think of anyone I fancied who was really into art that I'd have to pretend.
That's the only reason you would have.
It's the only reason I'm ever pretending anything.
What's the worst thing you've pretended on a date to impress a girl?
That I enjoyed Titanic.
Oh, really?
I took a girl that I really fancied Titanic to like a preview of it, and she cried so much. And I remember looking at her like, what's going on?
Thought, you just didn't feel anything?
I was just like, I was way ahead of the curve. Well, because Titanic lost me.
You've been told what happened at the end.
No, it lost me half an hour in when the geezer goes, that Picasso, he won't amount to anything. And I thought, this is fucking dog shit. And then the girl was crying. I was like, oh, bloody hell, I probably shouldn't say this is dog shit.
She was a big Picasso fan.
She was like, that's the saddest thing I've ever seen. I was like, yeah, it was really sad. Really sad what's going to happen to Picasso.
They do some drawing in that, life drawing on the boat.
Yeah.
Quite steamy then, isn't it?
Very naughty.
Bet you like that scene.
I did like that scene, you're right. I perked up with that scene happened.
With the hand on the window.
Steamy hand. Jinx.
Oh, Brett.
Yeah, hi.
Have you seen a film called Loving Vincent?
Oh, that is the hand-painted...
Yeah, oil-painted animation.
Yeah, no, I haven't, actually. I've seen the making of it, but I haven't seen the thing. Is it brilliant?
It is. Well, it's brilliant in that
it's amazing
I've never seen anything
that it exists,
like it.
Yeah.
But visually, it's amazing. If it was done with just sort of real-life actors, I don't know how amazing it would be.
Right.
It's just sort of the story of Van Gogh's life, which is quite interesting.
Huge achievement, isn't it?
Imagine how long that would take.
Ugh.
I'm not going to do checks on his shirt because I can't be bothered.
Okay. I need it.
But yeah, you should see it. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
And you're a film buff.
I should have seen that. You're right. God, I hate myself now. Thanks, Annie.
Okay. What I was going to say is, do you find it a similar process to writing or
doing art?
I don't know whether you find writing therapeutic. Is it like an outlet for you, or is it just stressful because it's work?
Oh no, it's definitely an outlet. Look, I think that I've become more and more aware of this, right? I think, I know I used to have depression a lot, mm-hmm. sure. And now I've done a lot of work and I have it an awful lot less. And one of the key things that always, always makes me feel better
mm-hmm.
is new stuff, making new stuff.
Oh.
If I do a gig, new material, mm-hmm. if I write something new, anything creative that's new, you go, oh, I'm not depressed. What was I talking about? Fine.
That's interesting.
Mm.
You've just come from a new... Was it a new material gig?
It was a new material gig.
And did you find that...
Do I look depressed? No, it was great.
Sometimes I find new material gigs some of the most depressing nights of my life.
No, there's something really magical when you do a new thing and it works.
Yeah.
And you go like, oh,
I didn't know. You do have a new sort of lease of life.
Yeah, exactly. It's a real magic. And that is always, when you feel like a bit low, it's like, because you haven't been making anything new, I think.
Mm. And you can get sort of stuck on a project, can't you?
Mm.
For 7 years.
Yeah, for 7 years.
I'm so happy for you that it's coming out. It's exciting.
Yeah, thank you. It is real. I do, I do not take it for granted. It's a huge thing.
When you had depression, did you find that impacted what you wrote?
I think it took me many, 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 it took my whole life to realise. I used to think, I think I was always like a sad child. And right. I think I thought you have to be a depressive to be an artist.
Right.
I just thought, oh, this is why I do what I do, because I'm a miserable cunt. Don't say cunt.
As a child.
You can think that. But... And David Lynch, who we come back to, David Lynch, who's one of my heroes,
mm-hmm.
he tells a story of he was writing this comic strip for an American newspaper called The Angriest Dog in the World,
mm-hmm.
and it was just this dog that was so angry that it got rigor mortis, and it was just like a frozen still of a dog in the garden, like, argh! And it would just have captions over it, but the picture would be the same, and it would go day to night, just this dog, and... During the time he's writing The Angriest Dog in the World, he went to see a therapist and the therapist said to him, but I think this was a bad therapist, but this really did affect me. The therapist said to him, look, I can help you, but I'm concerned that if I do, you'll stop making your art.
That's such a dangerous thing.
Yeah, and so he stopped and I read that at a young age. So I was like, oh, right, so this is all good. But now I know that it's not true. And actually,
so did he say that on a... I mean, how do you know?
It was in a book called Lynch on Lynch, where he was interviewed.
But was he saying that was unhelpful advice?
Well, he then did transcendental meditation, and that was what cured him of his rage and everything. And now he's a man of peace and wants world peace in a way.
And is that how you got into the meditation? Through
entirely because of David Lynch did it. Yeah. If he said jump, I'd say, oh, hang on.
How high?
can you give me more specifics?
Jump where?
Just I'm into it. I'm not saying no. Can you just be a little more specific?
Quickfire. Conceptual or realism?
Conceptual.
Impressionism or expressionism?
I wish I knew what that meant. Impressionists.
Straight lines or curves?
Ooh. Straight lines.
Looking at art alone or with others?
Alone.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Not completely.
Talk about or think about art?
Think about.
First, second or third film in a trilogy?
Great question.
Thank you.
Second.
Private view or view of privates?
Private view.
I love how seriously you're taking this. Miss Piggy or Kermit?
Oof. Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. I'm going Kermit.
Oh, misogynist?
No. Misogynist or feminist?
No, too difficult.
Come back to me.
Painting from life, landscape, or still life?
Say again.
Painting from life,
yeah.
Landscape, or still life?
Landscape.
You love landscapes, don't you? Why are you just going to live in the field?
Well, I'd like to live on the beach.
Would you?
Yeah.
LA or London?
London.
You're not getting a beach there, love.
That's true.
Is what you do art?
Yes.
Everyone hates saying yes, but it is yes. Wide shot or close up?
Close up.
Spielberg or Kubrick?
Spielberg.
Sunflowers or Starry Night?
Starry Night.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, great.
First kiss?
Yes, please.
Dicks or pussies?
Dicks or pussies?
Yeah.
Pussies.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So we're reviewing each other's work, a mark out of 10 for commitment, technique, and then a final overall grade. Sorry, I thought I was going to burp throughout saying that. My piece of paper's gone all floppy. Da-da-da-da-da-da!
Floppy power! Thank you. Wow.
I love it!
I don't...
Brett Goldstein painted. Yeah, great.
Right, what am I... This is excellent, Annie McGrath.
No, this is excellent.
You know what yours has?
Go on. It's big,
it's bold, it's got creases on his shirt. I mean, that's the sort of shit you can't buy.
Oh, yeah, it has actually.
That's the sort of shit you can't teach. That is the equivalent of a puppet breathing.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Brett.
His arms are alive in yours. He's alive.
Creased
ring. Buddy's alive. Yes. It's very big.
Hmm.
Wonderful dimensions. It feels thank three-dimensional. You. Feels like he's alive. Really feels like he's alive.
Well, he is.
I'm actually moved by it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Prove it.
I want to have a little cry.
Well, I've never made someone cry on this. That's my aim.
What do I have to mark it out?
Commitment out of 10. You don't have to write it on the piece.
You even got this teeth in.
But you, commitment out of 10 and then technique out of 10.
I mean, even the shorts, it's a really wonderful piece of work. It's 10 and 10 and 10.
Just two tens.
Okay, it's two tens.
Are you sure? That feels a lot.
But you know, even the ear has a sort of, is almost more three-dimensional than the actual ear.
Mm.
Is your buddy more alive than Buddy? No, but...
No, absolutely not. It's 2D. Right, Brett.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
The colours are bang on.
Yeah. And
when you started, you did them very front on, but then I love that you sort of changed it. You adapted because you knew what you'd drawn was wrong. So you've done him at sort of angle.
Had a go.
And it's really nice. The ear, I love particularly. It also, it looks 3D, but you can tell it's a puppet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it looks sort of stuffed in the face. It's sort of rounded.
Yeah.
And I love...
It's not bad.
It's great. I really like it.
Mm.
Your commitment to the shirt is great. You've done all the checks. And when I saw you start doing that, I thought, fuck it, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looks like it takes too long. You've done the sticks, which I didn't do. So you've really committed. And I like how you haven't gone too... I think I went very big. I like how yours is more subtle. And
it's a very subtle piece.
It's a subtle piece. Lime green with pink hair. Very subtle piece of work. I think it's brilliant. I'm going to give you, for commitment, 10 out of 10. Because you did the sticks.
Yeah. And but yours did... it was a choice, I think.
Yeah.
Mine, you're right. Mine looks like a puppet. Yours looks alive. Yours is like, what would Buddy be like if he wasn't a puppet?
Yeah.
So of course he doesn't have sticks. Because he's got a creased shirt.
Oh, that's true. What do you think it says about our personalities?
I think it says that you see the world... it's the difference between the Lion King stage show and the Lion King film.
Yeah. Which has a lot of
puppets. We both got... love and life in these things.
Yeah.
But yours goes, what if it's just alive? But mine goes, what if it's a puppet? But it's also alive. But I'll show you the workings. It's still got sticks. You can still see there's a person operating it. But it's the melding of the thing that makes it up. Whereas you just go, forget the workings.
Forget the sticks.
Forget Hakuna the sticks. Matata. Here's Buddy.
It's the circle of life.
Yeah.
Right, so 10 out of 10 for commitment and technique. I'm going to give you an 8.
I do know what, it's much more than I was expecting before I started
it's
this.
It's great. It's really good. I like how sensitive the marks. I think you can tell you used the oil block. Really nice, like, washy marks on the face.
Thank you.
I love it. I'm giving you an A.
I'm giving you an A star.
Yes!
And I would just like to say it's been an honour being on your podcast, SEK. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. I know you're very, very busy and we've had to fit it in late at night, and I really appreciate you making the effort.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
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 See you on Films to be Buried With.
Yeah.
Brett Goldstein, what a guy. That was such a fun episode. If you want to see our artworks, then follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Secret Art Pod. I'm at Annie McTweet on Twitter and McGrath.art for my art stuff on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening. Please do review and subscribe if you're not already. And have a lovely week. Only two more episodes left before we finish series one. So catch up on all the others and look after yourselves. Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.